Being bound, come drink everlasting love. When shall I be delivered from this vain world of sin? And with my blessed Jesus drink endless pleasure. But now I am a soldier, my captain's gone before. He's given me my order and bid me not give o'er. His promises are soldier eternally shall live. Through grace he will support me to conquer though I die. And then away to Jesus on wings of love I'll fly. Farewell to sin and sorrow, I bid you both adieu. And oh, my friend, still trust him and on your way pursue. Whene'er you meet with trouble and trials on the way, cast all your care on Jesus and don't forget to pray. Gird on the gospel armor of faith and hope and love. And when the combat's ended, he'll carry you above.
What about 236?
Bill said, tell you he'd be back a little bit. He forgot something.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
I was worried about it.
You were worried about you?
Yeah, I was worried about it.
96.
96.
On page 96.
Same book.
Yeah.
96. How sweet. How heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and thus fulfill his word. When each can show a brother's love when love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, and union sweet and dear esteem in every action glows. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy soul above, and he's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love.
Page 164.
Right. Yeah. 164. By God, the spring of all my joy, the life of my delight, the
Let's think one more out of this book in your script, won't you? Page 52. That calls it two girls. Page 52.
Rock of ages, plant for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flows be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy love's demands. Could my soul no rest find, no, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou
murmur not, oh, wake me.
to. Do we know that one?
We don't. We will.
292.
We're traveling on to that blessed home where saints immortal will join in song with loved ones there and may our voices swell.
And go with I welcome you this morning. I trust we've come this day that we may join together in one voice and lift that voice up to praise God for his many blessings. We're always reminded that our first order of business is to thank God for his blessings, and that we do. We thank him for allowing us to have a comfortable place that we might meet, come out with friends that believe as we do, and set in peace and harmony and think of God's glory. Appreciate the visitors being here. I appreciate everyone being here, and I appreciate this opportunity. It's a beautiful day that God has provided for us, and I trust that we might say something this day that might be to his praise, honor, and glory. Verse of scripture. I don't know if I can find it or not. Oh, bear with me just a minute. I'm not sure where it is. Proverbs, I believe it is. I can't remember where I had a scripture in mind. I don't know where it is. It's in Philippians. In the book of Philippians, Paul was telling the church at Philippi that he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he goes on down and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and rejoice, I say, rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What he's saying is that be careful for nothing. He's talking about be careful. Don't worry about the things of this world, but let your prayers be manifested by being preceded by thanksgiving. You don't ask for another blessing until you thank for the last, be thankful for the last blessing you have. Our prayers are very important. Our prayers mean a lot, not only to us, because we know God hears our prayers, but our prayers declare a sincerity to God. He is telling us that when we pray, we show our sincerity when we show thanksgiving. Last month, I asked that we please remember my wife. She had some tests to go through. They come back and one doctor says, this doesn't look good. You need to go to another doctor. Went to another doctor and he says it is cancer of kidney. We went to another doctor after much prayer, went to another doctor and he says something's going on, but I'm not real sure what it is, but it's a 50% chance it may not be cancer. I don't know how much the prayers meant. I tend to believe they meant a lot. We're still praying, and I ask you that you continue to pray for my wife. But I think God is hearing our prayers, and I don't know how the next appointment will come out. It could go the other way, I don't know. But it is a wake-up call for us. It's an alert that we should be ever in prayer for our loved ones. But according to Paul in his letter to the church of Philippi, let us never forget that we precede those prayers with thanksgiving for the blessings we had. We look back on and we find strength for our prayers. So I ask you to continue to pray for my wife. Is there anyone else that we need to remember this morning?
Yeah, please. I have an uncle with Costa.
I have a very dear friend in
next page. Gene Foster, sometimes, preacher.
I have another treatment to fill.
We have two grandsons, one's in the Navy, he's raised now, and the other is in the camp machine, Marine, and Special Arms Training. And I still have two grands with cancer. One had surgery, that's about 90% of it after 5 years. This is, and I think with the right emotion, because he didn't help it. And then the other one's still getting chemo, so I lost two this year.
Yeah. And what else?
Yeah, my auntie, but she's got a couple of coworkers. Billy Boy and Harold Rasmussen, played in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. That's who we meant to see last time, was it, which was good.
Don't forget the four churches, Shiloh, Stewart.
Since Elder Brain passed away, there's four churches that are without a pastor. We want to remember them also, Shiloh, Pine Ridge, Oak Grove, and Stewart. Remember them. Anyone else? Well, Keith, have a song to sing, and stand and rest your legs, have mine too, if, and I'll endeavor to the Lord in prayer and we sing.
Number 146.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a might in triumph o'er his foes he arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his name to reign.
He arose,
hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes he arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his name to reign.
Father, we are humbled this day in our desire to approach into thy rich throne of grace. Gracious God, we ask thee to hear our prayers. Gracious God, we ask you to look past our faults and our failures and our sins and our shortcomings. Looking through the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, through thy mercy, O God, and hear our prayers. Dear God, if we've come together, we've listed our friends and loved ones that are in the hospitals and the nursing homes, just going through the treatments of chemotherapy and having the brain cancers and all the terrible diseases of this world, dear God, that we feel so helpless to look upon. Gracious God, desiring to help and realizing when all else is lost that our best help is to look into Thee, O Lord, as the great physician. Gracious God, we ask You to be around about those that's in the hospitals, those that are on their dying deathbed this day, dear God, be around about them and grant unto them a peace and a comfort. Grant unto them a knowledge, O Lord, of the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Gracious God, be around about their families that they go through the sorrows and the sadnesses of this time. Gracious God, be around about those in the hospitals and under the doctor's cares. O Lord, we ask that the treatments go well and that all the healing that the doctors can prescribe may be to their benefit. Gracious God, be around about them all. Dear God, we ask a special blessing this day on our loved ones that's in the military services. O God, we ask You to be around about them and keep them safe, O Lord, as they go about the noble duty of to protecting us in our daily lives. We are thankful, O Lord, that Thou hast blessed these young men and women that they may be strong and may have an honor and a duty in their heart to stand up for their country. Be around about them, O Lord, and keep them till they serve their time. Gracious God, we come this day asking that Thou would bless us, O Lord, that we may see in the Scriptures the words that Thou has recorded for us, that we may find a comfort and a direction, that we may proceed in this life. Gracious God, with all the turmoils going on around us and all the trials and the tribulations and all the temptations, O God, we ask that Thou would be our leader and our guide, our bulwark, O God, that we may look up unto Thee, that we may have a direction. Gracious God, we ask that You be around about the leaders of this country. Bless them, O Lord, that they may look upon to Thee and none other, that we may have a direction to heal this great country, O Lord, that You blessed so many times in the past. We ask, O Lord, that You remember us, O Lord, and bless us again. Dear God, that we ask that we come together, that all that we may say and all that we may do may be to Thy praise, honor, and glory this day, that all the churches, dear God, this meeting in Thy name may be to show Thy majesty and to show Thy honor, O God. Dear God, we ask all these things, not knowing how to pray or what to pray for, but just praying, O Lord, that in our hearts we realize that all of our faults and failures are based upon our sinfulness. And dear God, we look to Thee as in our holiness and the righteousness, that would look upon us and bless us, O Lord, once again in Thy grace and mercy. Dear God, bless us that we may have a hearing ear and understanding heart, that we may hear something that may magnify and glorify Thy name this day. God, we ask You to be around about us. Bless us, O Lord. In Christ's name we humbly pray. And amen.
Amen.
This is a special week. I always tell it's getting close to this week because all the pretty flowers and pretty trees and stuff that starts blooming, and we can tell it's getting close to Easter. And it's always a pretty time of the year. It makes us think about birth when everything comes alive, and it's a good time just to think on a God and how life begins. But this week, and it's a lot of people call it a Holy Week, and a lot of people's even given several of the days in this week special names, and they have different celebrations throughout this week for each event that took place on the respective days. 1979 years ago. That's 33 minus 2012. And we have these days to celebrate these events. But we're discouraged from having holy days and holy weeks. The old Jews, if you read back through the scriptures, the old Jews had sacrifices and offerings and feasts and festivals and all kinds of traditions. But each one of these things that they celebrated, each event that they had, each feast or festival or tradition, they all prophesied, or they all pointed to a Savior that was to come. He had been promised that he would come, and all these sacrifices were pointing to what the Savior would do when he got here. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy days or new moon or Sabbath day." He's not necessarily saying you shouldn't have holy days or holy weeks, but what he's saying is that you shouldn't judge people for that. But then he goes on and says that these holy days, holy weeks, are a shadow of things to come. But he says it is, the body is of Christ. Now, he doesn't say don't have these, but he's saying these things are types and shadows of the Savior which is to come. And their need, or their reason for being, became unnecessary. They were done away with when Christ did come. Doesn't mean that they weren't important, but the types and shadows, the sacrifices or the observation of holy days were no longer needed. Now, Easter is a most wonderful event. To the Jews, the Passover was one of their most eventful times. Passover celebrated the time when they were in bondage in Egypt, and this was the last of the plagues that God put upon Pharaoh to convince him to release the children of Israel to go out into the wilderness. And they were commanded to observe this feast of Passover each year. And so it was a very meaningful thing to them, and they would go to Jerusalem, where the temple was, to celebrate this feast after they got out of the wilderness and got into the promised land. They would make their pilgrimage each year to celebrate this feast of Passover. In this one Passover, 1979 years ago, 5 days before the Passover, because there was not very efficient transportation, people would start gathering in the city of Jerusalem days or maybe a week or two. You had to allow plenty of time to get there. So they would start gathering a week or two ahead of time so they'd be sure to be there on time. On this particular Passover gathering of the Jews that had come into Jerusalem, 5 days before the Passover actually took place, the people were gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. And as the people come in from different parts of the country and different countries that were all coming for this, they started hearing stories of this Jesus that had been doing mighty wonders throughout the land. They heard how he had healed the sick, and he had caused the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they started hearing about how he had caused the multitude to be fed with just a little amount of fishes and bread, and how he preached this great sermon on the mount, and all these different things that these people were starting to hear that this Jesus was doing. And it was a very exciting thing. And now, 5 days before this Passover was to begin, they heard about this Jesus in Bethany causing a dead man named Lazarus that had already been buried in the tomb. And he called for Lazarus to come forth out of that tomb, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. If you can imagine the excitement, not just in being in Jerusalem for this wonderful celebration, but this Jesus was doing these mighty and wondrous things. And now they heard this Jesus was coming from Bethany and he was coming into Jerusalem. This was a time of great excitement. The townspeople went out to greet him, to give him a hero's welcome, to give him a welcome fitting for a king that was returning from victory, because they believed that this was their God. And when they come out, they as was custom to honor a king, they had palm branches and they spread their coats in the road to welcome this coming king. And they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Great time was to be had. Now this was on a Sunday morning, and it's called Palm Sunday. That's what we are here today, on what some call Palm Sunday. This day when Jesus came into Jerusalem set off a series of events for the week. And it goes through Saturday night when Jesus had been crucified, placed in the tomb, and was now laying dead in the tomb. And then the principal subject of this entire season, the very foundation of Christianity, begins on the next morning, Sunday morning, when it is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That starts next week on Sunday morning. It's what we call Easter. Easter is very, very important for Christianity. It is when we see the ultimate display of God's love and his mercy and his grace, in that he died on the cross and he conquered death and he rose from the tomb. But this morning, I want to focus on one aspect of this week. We read on Thursday evening, Christ met with the disciples to celebrate this Passover feast, as all Jews were required to do. As they finished the Passover supper, Jesus instituted a new ordinance. It's what we call communion. It's what we'll celebrate next month at this time. He instituted this communion supper. Many people call it the Lord's Supper. This was on Thursday evening. After he finished the supper and washed the disciples' feet, he went out into the garden to pray. And at the